This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan.
We just had the worst disaster I've ever seen.
Coming to grips with the scope of the widespread fire damage in Maui, at least 36 people have been killed in the fires pushed along by fierce winds. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is covering.
76-year-old William Bugle says he was burned on his arm when the roof blew off his house and he was hit by red-hot shingles.
You saw this fire grow out of control because of the wind.
It went from like nothing to like I felt this heat. It's tremendous heat.
Despite promised help from both federal and state agencies, Maui's relative isolation could slow the island's recovery.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has been treated to more perks from wealthy friends than previously known. ProPublica reports that since he was appointed to the court in 1991, he's received gifts including at least 38 destination vacations, 34 private flights, and a dozen VIP passes to sporting events. Inflation edged up in July after 12 straight months of declines, but the government says excluding food and energy costs, core inflation matched the smallest monthly rise in nearly 2 years. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Overall, this report was largely in line with expectations. It could mean that the Federal Reserve is able to pause at its next meeting in September, but there will be another month of both employment and inflation data for Fed officials to chew on.
Court action in Florida in the Trump classified documents case. One aide pleaded not guilty. Another still needs to get a local attorney. CBS's Ed O'Keefe has more on the assassination of a presidential candidate in Ecuador.
Following the assassination, Ecuador's president condemned the shooting, laying the blame squarely on organized crime, saying it was meant to sabotage the electoral process. Bia Vicencio, who was one of eight candidates running for president in the August 20th election, was known for speaking out against corruption and organized crime.
Virgin Galactic has just sent its first paying passengers into space.
Everybody on board has been cleared to unstrap and enjoy that zero-G experience.
It's amazing. They're all going to the window and taking in this just absolutely incredible view.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood says three passengers, an 80-year-old man, a woman, and her 18-year-old daughter were on board.
They go up. They get above the 50-mile limit that the NASA and the FAA considers the boundary of space, if you will, and then they come right back down again. These suborbital flights are literally up and down affairs. You're paying for about 3 to 4 minutes of weightlessness up at the top of the trajectory.
Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 140. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A sailor from Wisconsin is accused of selling U.S. military secrets to China. Jin Xiao Hui of Delavan was born in China. A grand jury indictment accuses Hui of accepting thousands of dollars in bribes in exchange for information about U.S. Navy ships. That includes weapons capabilities, potential vulnerabilities, and ship movement. Prosecutors allege he also provided the Chinese with photographs of military hardware and details about an upcoming exercise involving American Marines. A judge ruled this week that Wei will stay in jail while the case against him proceeds. Recent testing shows Wisconsin's drinking water has safe levels of PFAS. Brittany Merlot has more.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources tested 800 public water systems, and they all meet the state's drinking water standards. However, environmentalists say 4% of community water supplies in Wisconsin have PFAS levels that don't meet proposed federal standards. Wisconsin's new drinking water standard has been in effect for a year. Since then, the Environmental Protection Agency proposed a standard that's 17 times stricter than Wisconsin's. The state is spending $125 million over the next 2 years to address PFAS contamination statewide. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee is less than 2 weeks away. Chris Christie is trailing in the national polls. He tells reporters in New Hampshire that voters may be souring on Ron DeSantis.
When you're doing it as long as we have to do it to try to get the nomination and then ultimately win the presidency, people get to see you in a lot of different circumstances, a lot of different situations. And it's not a sheltered existence like some folks have before they run for president.
Frontrunner Donald Trump has not committed to attending. People who give $10 or less to a political campaign might not stay anonymous much longer. The Wisconsin Ethics Commission is considering new rules. Ethics Commissioner Administrator Dan Carlson says some typical fundraising practices are ripe for abuse.
There's been a practice out there of committees leaving a bucket unattended or unsupervised and insufficient safeguards to make sure that, you know, reasonable efforts are being made to either identify the contributor, which is also required, unless it's under $10, or just making sure that there actually is less than $10, $10 or less being given.
People in Wisconsin who give $10 or less don't have to provide any information, but the commission is considering a change. A lot of people in Wisconsin love fireworks in the summertime, but more people these days are complaining. As Stuart J. Waddles reports, some communities are increasing fireworks fines.
People in Wisconsin set about $22 million on fire last year. The state ranks 12th in the country for fireworks spending. That's with the practice not technically legal everywhere. Local communities are fighting back, with firework fines recently increased in Kenosha. An alder there is calling for the state to take action against purveyors of pyrotechnics.
You can buy fireworks there. They give you a permit, but it's not good once you leave the parking lot. What is that? That to me is nothing, and I wish our legislatures in Madison would take up this issue.
Kenosha Alder Holly Kangas was part of a unanimous city council vote to raise fireworks fines by 30%. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
A corn mill in Cambria will pay about $1 million to settle a state pollution violation. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says Didion Milling was polluting the air at its mill and its ethanol plant. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Hearings this week are over in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County, and now a judge will decide next year whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The teenager is charged with murdering 10-year-old Lily Peters last year and leaving her body in the woods near her Chippewa Falls home. Testimony in reverse waiver hearings this week focused on the boy's mental health and treatment options available in state prison. If the boy is convicted of homicide as an adult, he would serve a mandatory life sentence in prison. If the case moves to juvenile court, he would be under supervision for the next 10 years. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide in January where the case will go. A boy is dead after three people were riding a toy wagon down a hill near Lafarge last Friday. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office said a 20-year-old, 17-year-old, and 12-year-old were in a wagon when it went off of a road and hit a tree, throwing all three people from it. The 20-year-old and 12-year-old were hurt. 17-year-old Marvin Miller of Lafarge died at the scene. The death is being investigated. A lacrosse man will serve a dozen years in federal prison after he was found guilty of selling meth and fentanyl. In the sentencing, a federal judge said that 31-year-old Raphael Kuntu was found with over 23 pounds of meth and fentanyl at his home, as well as a loaded gun, other drugs, and over $20,000 in cash. Two others were arrested at the time and are facing multiple drug charges themselves. Police estimated the value of the drugs to be over $600,000. Two homicide suspects in Eau Claire County are being tried separately. Brandon Gaston and Tracy Clark are both accused of killing an Altoona man and hiding his corpse. The body of 79-year-old Dennis Shoddy was found decapitated in the Rock River in Rockford, Illinois, last April. Gaston will appear in court later this month. Clark's next court appearance is in October. The drought monitor released today shows that 18% of Wisconsin is in extreme drought, largely in southwestern and south central Wisconsin in the lower Wisconsin River Valley. A portion of far northern Wisconsin is in exceptional drought, the first time any part of Wisconsin has reached that category in at least 23 years. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A calm day today. A light north wind will keep us cooler, with highs hitting the mid-70s north and the low 80s south. However, the state needs rain. Burnett and the south shore of Lake Superior remain in an extreme drought, while Lincoln, Oneida, Washera, Adams, Marquette, and Green Lake counties have now joined them as conditions got worse over the week. Meanwhile, northern Wood and Portage counties hit a severe drought condition. The dry zone is slowly expanding, leaving 82% of the state still in a drought. The good news is, rain pushes in by late this evening. It will move east to west across the state overnight and into tomorrow morning. Another round of storms smacks us by Friday night, and some of those have the chance to be severe, We can expect up to a quarter an inch to nearly three-quarters of an inch of rain by the end of the weekend. Have a tremendous Thursday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Packers and the Bengals brawl. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In Cincinnati, the Packers and Bengals had their joint practice session over 2 hours in hot, humid conditions here in the Ohio River Valley. Things got heated when there was pushing and shoving after a screenplay that turned into a fight. Bengals defensive lineman DJ Reader was punching Packers left guard Elgton Jenkins.
You got a lot of guys on our team who are going to fight. You know, you think you know that, and then when you go through a practice like this, you kind of see it, so it's fun.
Jenkins then ejected from practice after getting into another fight. I asked David Bakhtiari what triggered it.
I think he gave him, like, the wrong pie recipe or something like that, and he's pissed off, so.
I mean, he's a guy, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. I mean, it just takes away a little bit from practice, but Elgton, I mean, totally was in the right first time. Got to protect yourself. Emotions get high. I know he'll never do it in the game. He's never done that in the game.
Quarterback Jordan Love missed on some deep passes, but connected on a few others as he made adjustments with the offense.
It's play dependent, but the timing routes are very important. You know, when looks change, you might be seeing one high and then they go to two shell pre-snap. Just being able to recognize that.
Backup quarterback Sean Clifford asked if he saw improvement from Jordan Love against the Bengals defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Jordan was getting through his reads really fast today. I thought that he made some really great throws, and in addition, I thought that he was moving in the pocket super well. That's one thing that just took from today, being able to really see how he operates against a different team. You know, I've been only going against the Green Bay Packers, so now to be able to see somebody else mess up a little bit and make some plays, you know, bounce back and forth, and so that way for Friday, I know what I'm going to get and jump off to a hot start on Friday.
Matt LaFleur on why he decided to bring the team a day early on this road trip here to Cincinnati.
We had a great team dinner last night, you know, went out to Jeff Ruby's. Unbelievable steakhouse. It was a really good experience, I think, for our guys to be on the road. This is the first time that we've done anything together like that. So it was a pretty cool deal.
Elsewhere in the NFL, former Packers defensive back Breshad Breeland, arrested in North Carolina. He was with the Packers in 2018, earned a Super Bowl ring with the Chiefs the following year, but now out of football. Breeland arrested Tuesday night in a stolen Mercedes with illegal guns like AR-15s, 5 pounds of pot, and other drugs. Baseball. The Brewers now with a 2.5-game lead over the Cubs and the Reds in the NL Central, thanks to a 7-6 win over the Rockies. Bottom of the 10th inning, Jeff Levering, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
Here is Andrew Monasterio with a chance to win the ball game. Two outs, Canna at third. Ground ball left side. Tovar in the dirt, and it's by the first baseman! Oh, what a gift for the Brewers as they walk it off against the Rockies. Final score, 7-6.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
You know, the game has twists and turns and ups and downs and good fortune and bad fortune. And, you know, you try to make every play you can control good. And that gives you your best chance to win.
That's Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
We
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of a shower or storm. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Showers and storms are likely tonight, lows around 63. Showers and storms likely on your Friday. One or two could be on the strong side. We'll see a high near 83. That's weather from Severe Studios.
It's 73 at our studios.
Today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or hit us up via the Civic Media app. We got plenty of ways to participate in the Town Call. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Joined by the squad today, Luke and Aaron. Gentlemen, how are we doing this Thursday afternoon?
Doing well on a Thursday, Will. Having some fun. Glad to be with you here on the airwaves.
I'm doing well as well.
Thank you, Aaron.
He was like hesitant to chime in there. Come on, Aaron.
I didn't know if it was my turn, you know. I wanted to wait and make sure that you said everything you needed to say.
Yeah, we're here across the Civic Media airwaves. We're having fun. Aaron on the ones and twos. You can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. And Will,
Aaron was checking if I was asking the other Aaron what they thought of.
There are other Aarons. We have at least one other Aaron at Civic Media.
Just not here. That's who
I was
asking.
I was hoping Aaron heard the background where I was like, Aaron, come let us know how you're doing today.
Hey, Aaron, the other one, get over here.
There you go.
He's not
here. Real quick.
There you go. Just quick. What are we discussing today on Town Call, Will?
Well, Luke, I want to ask the people of Wisconsin and the two of you as well, what does it mean to be patriotic? Has everything become politicized today? This is a conversation we touched on a few times over the past couple of weeks, but specifically in regards, at least today, I want to focus on the U.S. women's national team. And I want to know what it means to you, the people of Wisconsin, to be patriotic in the sense that, you know, we have seen a number of people across the country, as I'm sure Luke would love to jump on in a moment, that have been not just happy, but like exuberant to celebrate the loss.
Thrilled, some of them said.
Thrilled. Incredibly, incredibly happy that the U.S. women's national team was defeated, which, you know, for individuals who frequently criticize the women's national team for not being patriotic, to turn around and then cheer the loss of an American sports team is in and of itself one of the most unpatriotic things I can think of. The irony is profound in this situation. Luke, I know this is something that's near and dear to your heart, so I'd like to get your opinion on the anti-U.S. women's national team outrage.
Yeah, it's. I was upset Sunday morning when the women's team underperformed, in my opinion. As a fan of the team, they underperformed. They got all the way to penalty kicks to the point of the first game of the knockout stage, and I was upset. It was a millimeter. If you look, you could be a fan of the team and be really upset with the outcome because that the Sweden goal that counted, that knocked them out 5-4 in the PKs, went over the line just like a fraction of the line. Like, it was questionable. There's right to be outraged, but there are people finding joy, Will, in this outcome, celebrating this outcome. There are other countries around the world participating in the World Cup that are very, very upset if their team comes home earlier than expected. And you have pundits across the country, right-wing pundits across the country saying, we're glad.
A former United States president, Luke. A former United States president.
Yeah.
I don't know if former United States president really means anything positive anymore, but Fair.
Good point, Aaron. Good point.
He's what? Yeah. There's
someone spoiled that that title.
Okay. Gotcha. It was not, once not as much reverence to it. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes. Yes.
It is just baffling to see. And then, so this piece over at the Atlantic that I found, Meg Linehan writing it up. This World Cup's anti-USWNT, U.S. Women's National Team, outrage isn't just hateful, it's irrational. And Meg goes through the piece and discusses how some people were waiting for this to happen. Again, the U.S. Women's National Team, will back-to-back World Cup champions. They had won the previous two World Cups, and it's never been done before. It has never been done before to three-peat. There was hopes that this team could do it, and so there was a lot of pressure riding on this team. They were the best in the world,
mm-hmm.
and through some questionable coaching, some tough play from the players, but ultimately not enough to secure the victory. They didn't have a great group round. I can admit that as a fan. It was not, they underperformed in most of the games that they played in. They had a 3-0 victory over Vietnam and then drew against both Portugal and, who am I blanking on? The Netherlands. They had a 1-1 draw with the Netherlands, a 0-0 null-null draw with Portugal, and then lost to Sweden 1-0. That is an underperformance for the back-to-back reigning champions.
Of which they did receive criticism. Remember, Carly yeah. Lloyd, former U.S. women's national team player, came out and basically said this team doesn't seem to have the energy that they need.
And so there can be questions and discussions about that. But to actively be cheering, to say that, oh, well, I can't cheer for this Team America, because that's who they are. They were Team USA. I can't cheer for Team USA because they're un-American. It is just a fascinating stance to take.
It's an SNL skit. It's like literally a satirical that you could stand there and say, well, it's on these people are un-American, so I'm going to root against the American team. You can't make it up.
It's interesting. And so it bodes the question that you've asked is what is patriotism, and is even patriotism political now? Because reading from this piece over the Atlantic, on social media, former President Donald Trump attributed the loss to current President Joe Biden, adding that many of the players were, quote, openly hostile to America, among more unhinged contempt. Political commentators, almost all right-leaning, have parroted this talking point, with former Fox News and NBC host Megyn Kelly declaring on her SiriusXM radio show that she was, quote, thrilled the U.S. lost. Players' public stances on a number of social, cultural, and political issues have repeatedly been cited as offenses that constitute, quote, reveling in anti-American vitriol, as Texas Senator and former Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz put in on Twitter. I believe it's called X now, but the piece still
references the platform formerly known as Twitter.
The piece says Twitter. So I'm reading from the piece. So too are their marketing deals, their hairstyles, the awards some have won, everything down to the clothes they wear and the way they choose to celebrate existing at the peak of their profession. So everything that they do is viewed from a political lens from these commentators. It is what is the reason why they're celebrating their early departure from the World Cup. But how can you say that protest, because that's what they were doing. They've been protesting unequal pay between the women's national team, again, back-to-back winners, compared to the U.S. men's team, which has had some promising World Cup ventures of late, but not back-to-back champions. And so they've protested other social issues as well, as a number of sports figures have in recent years. And so apparently the fact that they protest and want to strive for a better country makes them un-American to the point where people have to cheer against them, Will. The Team USA. People are saying they can't cheer for Team USA because members of that team are un-American. But does that not make Megyn Kelly, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump un-American for cheering against Team USA?
Well, and couldn't you make the argument that nothing is more American than standing up for yourself and your fellow workers and the rights that you deserve and fair and equal pay in the workplace? Like, that is when I think of what kind of when I imagine what differentiates the United States from some other places in the world, that's what I think of, is that we have the ability to protest, to do and say what is right for not only us, but for our community, and to come out and attack individuals for doing that and claim they're anti-American is about as backwards as it possibly can be.
It feels pretty upside down, Will. It feels pretty backwards. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you've got thoughts on the Women's World Cup, if you've seen some of the commentary that you would like to share with us, or you want to share your own thoughts, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. And as Will noted, you can do so right from the Civic Media app. Download it on your smartphone devices. Go over to the Apple or Google Play stores, search Civic Media. It's free, easy to download. You can listen to all of the excellent Civic Media radio stations across the state. And you can call and text into the shows right from the app, or do it the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789. But Will, it is, it just feels like this is, it feels upside down. Cheering an early departure from the World Cup that they could have possibly won and made history, doing something that no team has ever done before and going for three in a row. And the fact that you're happy and satisfied as that departure happens is just very, very interesting, Will.
And I would wager, as the Athletic piece notes, that most of these individuals criticizing the U.S. women's national team are very likely not watching women's sports, not supporting women's sports, not cheering or enjoying women's sports in any way, shape, or form, unless it's to celebrate the loss of their national team. You know, Donald Trump is not sitting around and watching the women's.
You don't think that he was waking
play,
up at right? Like, what I want to say, 4 or 5 a.m. East Coast time. You don't think he tuned into the game to watch it live on Sunday?
No.
You don't think?
No,
so?
I think there is a negative chance of that happening. Yeah.
Negative. You don't think Ted Cruz was sitting in Texas or Cancun or wherever he was over the weekend and just tuning in to watch the women cheer on the defeat? I guess I don't know. It feels very strange that there are political figures, commentators, and just anybody that has this view. I'm glad they lost. I'm glad they lost. It is like, I can't even picture this happening the reverse way. Like, I can't see like a national team that's represented by more conservative facing athletes that all of a sudden you'd see individuals on the left start commenting that they were glad they lost. Can you think of a comparison, Will?
No, the movement would be lambasted if you were to come out and actively cheer against the United States. Though we have seen it with other sports as well. LeBron James, I think, is the most famous example, right? The shut up and dribble. It's always
Laura Ingram,
a lot of times
Fox
a lot
News
of times,
host Laura right, Ingram.
Conservative politicians will love to hype up conservative athletes, but as soon as an athlete comes out and says something they disagree with, then it's, hey, shut up. Your job here is to play a sport. You don't, your opinion doesn't matter. You have no value. But you know, Brett Favre has been highly touted as some kind of
Aaron
Rodgers
when his stance on the vaccine became public. Then when he was immunized instead of vaccinated last year, there were people lauding that decision. And so it is, interesting to see which athletes then do have the rights to have a platform. We want to hear your thoughts on what's going on with the World Cup exit, the commentary surrounding it here on Town Call. It's what we're discussing on this Thursday afternoon. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. Send us a text. Town Call is going to be right back. Who's to say what's impossible and can't be found? I don't want this feeling to go away.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. A National Guard helicopter dropping water on the fires in Maui. At least 36 deaths reported. County Mayor Richard Bisson.
Our Emergency Operations Center has been fully activated, and we are fortunate to be able to work together with our federal, state, county, and business partners.
July consumer prices rose 3.2% from a year ago. Bank Rate's Mark Hamrick.
Shelter was the biggest single contributor to the monthly increase, with some help from rising motor vehicle insurance prices. Shelter costs are up 7.7% over the past year.
Well, CBS's Ed O'Keefe on the assassination of a presidential candidate in Ecuador.
The U.S. ambassador to Ecuador is condemning the assassination of Fernando Villavicencio and vowing U.S. assistance in the investigation. Suspects could include drug cartels, which have seen their clout grow in Ecuador in recent years.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Hearings this week are over in the Lily Peters homicide case in Chippewa County, and now a judge will decide next year whether the lone suspect, a 15-year-old boy, will be tried as an adult or if the case will go to juvenile court. The teenager is charged with murdering 10-year-old Lily Peters last year and leaving her body in the woods near her Chippewa Falls home. Testimony in reverse waiver hearings this week focused on the boy's mental health and treatment options available in state prison. If the boy is convicted of homicide as an adult, he would serve a mandatory life sentence in prison. If the case moves to juvenile court, he would be under supervision for the next 10 years. Judge Stephen Gibbs will decide in January where the case will go. Two homicide suspects in Eau Claire County are being tried separately. Brandon Gaston and Tracy Clark are both accused of killing an Altoona man and hiding his corpse. The body of 79-year-old Dennis Shoddy was found decapitated in the Rock River in Rockford, Illinois last April. Gaston will appear in court later this month. Clark's next court appearance is in October. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize, too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. Blood.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or hit us up via the app if that would be easier for you. We are discussing patriotism today. What does it mean to be patriotic? And taking that potentially a step further, is everything now politicized? We are referring to, of course, the U.S. women's national team and their unfortunate recent defeat in the round of 16, I believe it was, Luke.
Yes, the first the start of knockout stage is the round of 16. Yeah.
Round of 16. And how a small handful of national pundits have been unfortunately cheering. They're happy. They're so ecstatic to see the women's national team having been defeated because, you know, these tried and true bleed red, white, and blue American patriots love nothing more than rooting against the United States, evidently, as long as that fits their political worldview. I want to hear your thoughts on the question, 844-967-2789.
And the, one of the first things that I thought of when all of this commentary started coming out, Will, was, unfortunately, I wasn't all that surprised. Like I just wasn't. It seemed like it felt like par for the course for some of these pundits to be sharing these sentiments. But they're shocking sentiments. Just because I'm not surprised by it doesn't mean it's not shocking. Because sports used to be one of those things that unites.
It transcended politics in the past.
Yes. And so one of my all-time favorite movies, stories, sports moments is Miracle on Ice. The U.S. men's hockey team coming together and defeating the Soviet Russia at the 1980 Olympics. And one of the only things that I could think about when digesting this commentary from these pundits is a clip from the movie where nobody on the team can get along. You got hockey players from Boston and Minnesota that are constantly fighting. They're not getting along. They're constantly saying the colleges that they repped, that's who they played for. And Kurt Russell does a phenomenal job playing Herb Brooks, the coach that performed the Miracle on Ice. He got this team together and did what everybody thought was impossible in 1980. He made history. And Herb Brooks, and obviously I think this is a little bit more from the dramatizing the moment, but when they're skating, I believe in Sweden, to connect it to this World Cup story, I believe it's after a game in Sweden, they're going and doing ladders on the ice until they're literally puking. And they get to the point of who do you play for? But that's the question that he's been asking. And we've got a clip from the movie, but this is from Miracle, the Disney movie for the Miracle on Ice.
And a name on the front is a hell of a lot more important than the one on the back.
And that's all I can think of. Is you've got all of these commentators criticizing those names on the back, but at the same time, actively cheering the defeat of the name on the front. They're actively saying, well, we dislike Megan Rapinoe so much that we are going to cheer for the downfall of the U.S. women's national team. And that's what it boils down to, is that they are so much animosity towards these individual players that they are actively cheering against their country's national team on a stage like the World Cup it's a little baffling.
Well, Luke, I think another aspect that has to be touched on, and the Athletic piece does note this, is it just the argument about not singing the national anthem? I would argue no, and the Athletic would argue no as well, as Meg points out, most of the USA baseball team didn't sing the anthem in the final of the World Baseball Classic this year. The U.S. men's basketball team didn't sing the anthem in the Olympic gold medal game in 2021. A significant number of U.S. men's national team players didn't sing the national anthem at the last World Cup. And she identified numerous other countries who competed in New Zealand and Australia over the last few weeks that haven't sang their national anthems either. So is it just the national anthem? No, I don't think so. I think it's that a lot of these conservative pundits are angry at women's national players for representing views that the vast majority of Americans represent, but that they don't represent. For example, the wristbands reading protect trans kids, right? Demand for fair pay and mm-hmm. equal pay in the workplace, the need to protect women's sports, right? These are hot button cultural issues right now that I think at the national level, conservatives, maybe they don't recognize it, but they are not quote unquote winning that battle. The vast majority of Americans believe in equal protections for all American citizens. They believe in equal pay. They believe in protecting trans children. They believe in all of these type of scenarios that the conservative culture war is built upon. Yeah. So the U.S. women's national team become an excellent stand-in, I guess.
Conduit.
For a conduit, sure, for all of these policies that they hate and that they want to erase from American discourse. And they hate that these star athletes not only are at the top of their profession, but are receiving a, you know, are on the national stage to have their voices heard. Because I think a lot of these individuals, particularly, you know, conservative white men, don't believe anybody else's voice has a right to be heard. And they are angry that women, in many situations, gay women, are coming out and saying things that differentiate from their, from the way that they think their America should be run. So they're going to come out and cheer for their downfall in any way, shape, or form.
If you've got thoughts on patriotism, we want to hear them here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. We got a texter, Jim in Appleton, listening on WGBW, the Talk of Green Bay, saying patriotism became political on the day Colin Kaepernick took a knee to protest police brutality. It has only gotten worse since then, to where we cheer against Americans in the in an international competition. So that's Jim from Appleton's thoughts. You can share your thoughts with us, 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call. Let's head over to the phone lines, Will. We've got Ken from Fond du Lac calling in. Ken, what's on your mind this Thursday afternoon?
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, my fact is, Vita, having had lost a loved one overseas fighting for this country, if he did, he would probably think differently of kneeling for that flag.
You're speaking of Colin Kaepernick.
Be where they're at, all of them.
So when Colin Kaepernick first started his protest, he was sitting on the bench, Ken, and a former member of the U.S. military told him that taking a knee was more in reverence. And I don't disagree with Jim and Appleton's text. I think that that was a starting off point for a lot of this conversation of what is patriotism.
Did he lose any loved ones overseas fighting for this country? No.
Is that the only way that an American deserves to have their voice heard, Ken?
Why would you, against the flag, where so many men lost their lives so they can do what they do? And besides that soccer, they are failures. They're all failures. They're complete failures.
But they were back before Sunday's loss to Sweden, they were back-to-back world champions, Ken. Is that's failure to you?
They were. Yes, it is.
That's interesting, Ken. I guess I would ask how many world championships you had won, but I don't think that's going to impact.
Yeah. This is an interesting stance to take, to say that the defending back-to-back title for the World Cup is failure. Yes, unfortunate loss, as they are no longer contention for this year's
World Cup. You could make
the
argument that this World Cup was a failure in the sense that we have high expectations. We are the back-to-back defending champions. You expect to come in and win.
A very wise athlete here in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, representing the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, said that this season was not a failure, even though the Bucks had an early departure from the playoffs as well. So I think taking into context the entire picture of what sports is and what it means, I don't know if there's any failure. I tend to agree with Giannis.
You learn from everything. And I will also say, as far as the disrespecting our servicemen and women, I think that deciding to kneel, which, as you said, is more respectful than sitting on the bench, instead of stand, is not saying screw America. It's saying, I think we as a country are not honoring these servicemen and women and what they've done for us with what the country is currently doing. So that's kind of how I view it, that it's saying we should be respecting the flag and we're not. So I'm going to show that with my position of public visibility.
Remember too, guys, that retired Army Green Beret Nate Boyer, as you pointed out, Luke,
I couldn't think of his name, but thank you.
First convinced Colin Kaepernick to kneel because kneeling is a sign of respect. That was retired Green Beret Nate Boyer's suggestion to Colin Kaepernick, and they decided together that that's how he would approach the situation going forward. So this was a military veteran who said, hey, why don't we do this instead? You're both showing respect, but also acknowledging that there is a lot of work that needs to be done. And clearly you know, this is someone with military experience who believed that. I don't know if it was Boyer as well who said this, but other opinions I have seen on social media from individuals going back to the original time that Kaepernick knelt was, is that not what we fight for, in the sense that Kaepernick has the right to do that during the anthem if that's what he chooses?
Well, the First Amendment protects both freedom of speech and freedom of protest. And so, yeah, it is exactly what is included in when armed service members go overseas and protect the nation. That is one of the rights that they are defending. The right to protest. The right to have your freedom of speech on your platform. If you are a professional athlete in the National Football League or for the U.S. women's national team, you have that platform. It is something that is afforded to you because of the skill that you have brought and the ability to get to that team. And so the obsession that the country has over sports gives those athletes that platform. That is what it is. We as a culture love sports. We dedicate an entire day of the week to one league that's coming up soon. First game
they
kicking off.
They literally own a day of the week, yeah. Luke.
First preseason game for the Green Bay Packers coming up tomorrow. And so it is interesting, I guess, to say the least, Ken, but we appreciate your take. We appreciate your phone call. You can be like Ken, 844-967-2789. But is it calling them failures, I think, is a little incorrect. And so the back-to-back world champions are not failures. The gold medalists, I believe, in the Olympics as well. If not, this was the last Olympics, Summer Olympics, the Summer Olympics before that. Like this women's national team has done phenomenally.
They've
brought it home so much.
Number one in the world.
Yeah, and so and as you pointed out, Will, it's not solely to do with the anthem either. It's something beyond that when it comes to this coverage, because you pointed out all of those other cases where members of the men's team did similar things, not singing the anthem, not participating in the anthem. And the vitriol was not there. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Squeeze in one more here. We got Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind this Thursday afternoon?
Well, this kind of ultra patriotism it doesn't go just as far as Colin Kaepernick. It goes back at least as far as the 1960s and the Vietnam War, where the opposing politicians had literally stated on stage, "America, love it or leave it." They just this is, but it's been exacerbated by the extreme tribalism that the Republican Party has purposely fomented among its acolytes. I'm sorry, that's the way some of these people seem. It's like anything a Republican says or does is just fine, and it doesn't matter whether it really is patriotic or not.
Appreciate the phone call, Jack. Yeah, it seems like some people have that right, and others are more criticized for exercising it. We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call, 844-967-2789.
If the sound of a chainsaw is music to your ears, here's your chance to watch carvers turn 8-foot logs into one-of-a-kind works of art in Eau Claire. The U.S. Open Chainsaw Championship is like the Olympics, but for log carvers. It's being hosted at the Wisconsin Logging Museum as an ode to the Chippewa Valley logging industry. More than 90 years ago, the most lumber compared to anywhere else came out of this area. Thousands of sculptors from around the world will compete. The U.S. Open runs through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bond.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifens.com/disclosure.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over, so I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed, so I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of a shower or storm. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 79. Showers and storms are likely tonight, lows around 63. Showers and storms likely on your Friday. One or two could be on the strong side. We'll see a high near 83. That's weather from Severe Studios.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking patriotism today. What does it mean to be patriotic? And is everything currently politicized, including sports?
We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. We got David in Mequon calling in now. David, did you watch the women's national team game on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning?
I did not, actually. I'm not a soccer fan, to be honest with you. It's never interested me.
Just the world's most popular sport never interested you at all, David?
That's correct.
Okay.
I never took a liking to soccer. I can't tell you. I even have a nephew, actually, he was going to join the Michigan State soccer team. Unfortunately, his knee gave out, and I've watched him play. I'm just not into soccer. That's just my personal opinion, but that's
fair enough.
Me. But anyway, in reference to what you guys have been referring to, and Kyle with Kaepernick and what have you, Colin Kaepernick, listen, he has every right to do what he wants. I was pissed when he was sitting down on the bench. I thought that was, I didn't think that that was graceful. The kneeling, I didn't have as much of a problem with because he was still out there. He's showing, you know, how he feels. Remember Muhammad Ali back in the day, he had emotions to what was going on in the country. And that has been going on in sports for quite a long time. Jackie Robinson certainly was another player in baseball. So I'm in total agreement with you guys, actually, that people have a right. The previous caller, if he's angry about whatever, he has every right to be angry at that person. I have family in the military too. And I do have, for me, it's hard for me to stomach when teams where some teams were not even coming out for the anthem, but that is their choice.
I believe that was a decision actually made by the owners, David. That wasn't a player's choice one. That was an owner's. They didn't want to deal with the conversation or the pushback around it.
Right. That's correct. So at the end of the day, listen, freedom of speech is messy. Not everybody's going to agree with whatever their opinion is. And as long as it's not intimidating somebody or threatening somebody's life or whatever, they have every right to voice their opinion. That's a part of it. That's what makes our country different than some other countries in the world where, yeah, you could get arrested for, a variety of different things for something very mundane. And I do think that as far as being patriotic, I think it's important that people volunteer to go to see veterans and visit with them. A lot of people, if I see a veteran in a restaurant, I'll sometimes go up and just take care of their bill. I think that's that is the one of the things that we can do if we want to be patriotic. Little everyday things, I think, are in the overall scheme of things, rather than just, you know, obviously, you know, with the flag. But there's a lot of other things you can do on a human level that I think that we should be looking at as well, because a lot of these guys are struggling. A lot of these guys.
Yeah, we have 22 veterans, you know, committing suicide a day, roughly, in this nation, David. So there's absolutely more support that we could provide to the veteran community. Do you believe it's patriotic?
I just want to say, I think it was a brilliant point that David just mentioned, that the day-to-day, take care of the little things on the day-to-day basis to improve the lives of those around you. That's what being a patriot is all about, at least to me.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm totally on board with you guys with this. So there's no qualms for me in that regard.
Sounds good, David. Well, we appreciate you calling in and voicing that support. You could be like David, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. And one of the things, Will, in kind of the taking a look at all the pundits that are commenting on it, one of the ones that we haven't yet discussed is the Fox Sports commentator. Fox Sports now responsible for the coverage of the World Cups here. They cover the men's team in Qatar the end of last year, covering the women's team and all the coverage surrounding the Women's World Cup in Australia and New Zealand this summer. But Alexi Lalas, one of the former U.S. men's national team players, Fox Sports commentator, and he's had some pretty interesting thoughts on all of this too, kind of very much in the they went too woke, it's the players' own fault that they lost because of the stances that they've taken. And you shared with me a pretty interesting graphic, Will. You want to share what the breakdown of the graphic is?
Sure. So comparing the World Cup careers of Megan Rapinoe to Alexi Lalas, titles won, Megan Rapinoe 2. Games played, 17. Goals, 9. Assists, 7. Golden Boot Award, which goes to the top scorer, as well as Golden Ball Award for the best player. Megan Rapinoe won 1 of each. Alexi Lalas has no titles. He has no goals, no assists, no Golden Boot Awards, no Golden Ball Awards, but he has played in 4 games. So, to kind of reiterate your point, Luke, this is someone who, you know, he did play on the national team. We're not saying he didn't, but it's a pundit commentator who's coming out and criticizing arguably one of the most successful professionals in her industry for not succeeding. It's
for not doing something that nobody else ever did and winning the title 3 times. That's what it is. For not setting a historic precedent. That's where the criticism comes in then. It's baffling. It's like I'm still struggling to get over though. Well, they're all failures. Like, I don't quite understand the sentiment from Ken from Fond du Lac, but it was never done before. It would have been an historic feat if they were able to accomplish 3 in a row, and it didn't happen. And yes, you can have
imagine
really high expectations.
Some other sport. Tom Brady just won, you know, 2 Super Bowls, and then the third year, He loses in the wild card round, and somebody comes out, no, he's a failure. He's a complete and total failure. Like, you would never hear that in some other sport.
No, and that's why in hindsight, yes, very, very upset about the Milwaukee Bucks' departure. Overall best team in the NBA when it came down to record this year. And they lost to the 8-seeded Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs. And yes, there's a lot of hurt feelings over a team not playing up as well as you wanted it to, but at the same time, Giannis says it's not a failure. You learn and you grow from sports. And I think that's the important thing to ask, consider when it
stronger.
Comes to it. Yep. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow for most Wisconsin headlines of the week, 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Nothing slows my little girl down. except the stuffy nose.
Mommy.
That's why I use Sinex Children Saline from Vicks. Sinex instantly clears mucus and everyday stuffy little noses with a gentle, ultra-fine mist designed for kids. Just Sinex? Breathe. Her stuffy nose is gone for now. And so is she.
Sinex Children Saline. Sinex? Breathe. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.